Turn to Matthew chapter 21, if you will. We're going to jump around a little bit this morning. Give you some practice in hunting scriptures. But we'll go back with our lead scriptures coming from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. When in 17 tells us we can't think like the heathen out here think. We can't use our brain because our brain's no good. And it says in verse 18, having the understanding darkened. It's talking about Christians now. This is a word to Christians. Born again people, believers, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. In other words, believers can't participate in all that God wants for them because they don't know better, or they're stubborn. Now, it's my job to take care of the don't know better. I'm supposed to show you that. The stubborn, you're going to have to handle that between you and the Holy Spirit. But we're going to see some things this morning I think that'll be necessary for you to live that life of living by faith for Jesus Christ. So we ask the question, what is the life of God that we might be alienated from? We're going to see a part of that this morning, coming from the mouth of Jesus and what he expected out of us. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 18, it says, now in the morning as he returned unto the city, he hungered. Jesus got hungry as he was walking back to town. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. Didn't have any fruit on it. And said unto it, let no fruit grow on it henceforward forever. And presently, I don't know what that means. Probably a few minutes, because they noticed pretty quick that the fig tree had already died. And presently the fig tree withered away. And then the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? How quick, Jesus, what you said came about. And look what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now let me ask you something. Do you believe you could move a mountain? Do you believe you could speak to a fig tree and it'd die? That's the goal for it. That's what Jesus said is possible. What did he say? If you have faith, you can do that. Verse 22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. In John chapter 14, listen to this. Verse 12, I say unto you, Jesus says, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He said, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you guys, the Comforter. He's going to be everything that I am, but look at what he says. And greater works than these shall he do. Who do? The Christian that has the Holy Spirit. Because I go to the Father and the Holy Spirit comes. Now, how do you figure that? Jesus said it's not me doing these miracles. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. So the Holy Spirit in him was the one that was doing the miracles. And he says, now that you get the Holy Spirit, you can do everything I did. You believe that? That's the goal. That's where we all should be. It takes faith, but we can't please God without faith. I remember what Granddaddy said, even a turtle doesn't get anywhere till he sticks his neck out. And faith is believing. It's all about taking a little bit of a chance with the things of the Lord. How could we do more than Jesus? That was a question that bothered me for a lot of years. But then I finally figured it out, I think. May not have it all figured out yet. But you see, Jesus was in our mortal body like us. He could only be at one place at one time. And the Holy Spirit that he had in him that lit on his shoulder in the Jordan River like a dove did the miracles wherever he happened to be. But you see, he introduced the church to us, not a building, but people who believe, that have the Holy Spirit in them. And they're everywhere, people. God can have representatives everywhere there is a believer that has a Holy Spirit in them. That could be everywhere. It can be happening 100,000 times at one time. That's how it could happen. But look what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, in the last days, don't turn there, we got another place to go. But in the last days, verse 5, there are people who have a form of godliness but deny the power of it. They call themselves Christians. They go to church every Sunday. They haven't killed a fig tree or moved a mountain in the process, because they don't believe that they can have that power. Now listen, let me say this to excuse all of us, me included. I hadn't moved a mountain either, but I believe I can. But I've learned that God has to want that mountain moved before he can tell me to move it, and I can move it. That was what I had to figure out. It's what God wants, folks, not what we want. God has got us assigned the job of doing what he wants done, not what we want done. And there's a difference. He says, for the people who deny that we can have that faith, turn away from them. Don't hang out with them. They'll get you to where you don't have any power at all. But you've heard it. It's been on bumper stickers for years. With God, all things are possible. They are. And what he's talking about is with the Holy Spirit of God that's living in each one of us. Because after all, it was him, the one that was doing all the miracles anyhow. Well, okay. So I entitled this message today, Who Touched Me? Because I want to show you something that gives you detail about how it works. And if you wondered exactly how you can do what he's calling you to do, turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and if your pages don't stick together, verse 25. Look what it said. And there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus. Now look, I want you to look at this like it happened down the road between here and Selma 2 weeks ago, and a couple, three of you sitting around talking about it. Because that's the only way we're going to understand this thing. We look at the information that God gives us, and we see what we can arrive at based on that information. When she heard of Jesus, what did she hear about Jesus? She heard that he was close in Galilee, close to where she was. He's crossing back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. And he's healing people everywhere. Now let me explain something to you. Jesus later called what this lady had as a plague. Now I looked up that word plague, and in the Greek, that thing called a scourge, a short whip, a cat of nine tails, the pirates called it, that had the metal in the lashes and the bone in the lashes that would cut a man all to pieces, was the same word that they called a plague. The same word that was defined, plague, was the same word as that little whip. Now criminals, that sometimes was part of their sentence, was to be scourged, like they scourged Jesus. The Romans had laws for everything, and when the Romans did it, the law was they had to have a doctor there to look at the person every two or three licks to make sure he wasn't going to die. So when you had been scourged, you were within an inch of your life when it was over with. And that was the word that Jesus used to describe what this woman had. Now, I don't know about you, but if you know anything medically, you know that if you have lost too much blood for 12 years, you aren't in really good shape. And your poor, probably as poor as a rail. Your face is all sunk in. Women folks back in that day didn't have a great deal of confidence. A lot of them didn't, because they were treated, a lot of them were as second-class citizens, pieces of property. I can see all these things in her mind. When she heard that there was a man in the area that was healing everybody. And she came up with a foolproof plan. Because I know she had doubts. Well, what if he doesn't approve of me? What if he doesn't like the way I look? What if he decides not to heal me? All those things had to be there. She didn't know who he was. So she came up with a foolproof plan. I'll slip up on him in the crowd and reach through the people and just touch his clothes, and I'll be healed. Now, wait a minute now. Where did she get that? Where did she come up with that? You know that everything spiritually comes from the Holy Spirit, right? We can't learn the thing in the Bible without the Holy Spirit teaching it to us. The Holy Spirit must have visited this lady and told her that if you touch him, you'll be healed. Because she believed it. She wasn't messing around now. She believed it. To the extent that she hunted him down. Now look at the setting. A ruler of the temple had just sent somebody to get Jesus to come and heal his daughter who was sick. The crowd around heard about this, and they were going to see Jesus. Then a guy stopped and said, "She's dead already." And Jesus said, "Don't worry about it. I'm still going." Now, folks, you've got to know something about human nature. This crowd was crowding him, trying to get as close as they could to find out what in the world was going on here. And they following him to Jairus' house to see what he's going to do with this girl. And as he's being crowded, she slips up and puts her hand through the people and just touches his garment. Look at verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew that she had been healed. That's what she was looking for. That's what she came for. In verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. What is virtue? In the Greek, this word right here is a miracle force power. A power that can create a miracle had gone out of him. He felt that. Why did he feel that with all the people that were touching him? How did he know that? Because it was different. It wasn't like everybody else that was touching him. Something happened to Jesus that made him recognize that. I had a discussion with somebody pretty close to me yesterday about what I was going to preach today. And they had a different idea about it. But I'm going to tell you something that I've learned. And please listen to me. I explained to her. It's not right just because I said it. That's not it. All I can do is be taught by the Holy Spirit and try to understand what this book is saying. And I'm coming to you with that. I can't teach you anything. I can only make you aware of things. The Holy Spirit has got to confirm it with you. And what I've learned that I was taught in error all those years, some kind of way I got Jesus and God messed up. Because God knows everything. I mean, that is promoted to little kids in Sunday school. God is everything. But I had to learn that when Jesus was being prepared for his earthly ministry, for being born on earth and coming up and growing up like you and me, he didn't know everything. He asked God in the 17th chapter of John, restore my glory to what it was before I came down here and lived on this earth. Jesus didn't know everything when he walked this earth. Several times the disciples asked him, what about this? He said, I don't know that. Only the Father knows that. So there were a lot of things that God knew that Jesus didn't know. Now, did Jesus know everything that was going on in your mind? That's said of the Father. But I don't think it's said of Jesus anywhere. Now, understand me. He had, I'm sure, abilities of discernment that could look at your face, your expression, your tone of voice, and tell an awful lot about you. But he couldn't read your mind. I don't believe that. And I don't believe he knew who had touched him. I believe all at that point that Jesus had was the knowledge that miracle power had gone out of his body. And he wanted to know what's going on. if you will, please. Immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" If you will, please turn to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to finish the story as Luke told it, because it's looking at both stories. Mark told more in the first part of the story. Luke told more in the last. So let's go to Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 45. And to pick us up in verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When everybody denied it, Jesus turned around, because she had slipped up on him in the back, right? And he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee," or crowds you. Everybody's touching you and pressed you and saying, "Thou, who touched me?" Now look, folks, Peter was bad to talk in the flesh. And this is a fleshly statement. It's not a spiritual statement. Because if I had, knowing what I know now, or I think I know now, if I'd have been there, I'd have been the last person to say anything. I'd have known that something was going on, and I didn't know what it was, and I'm not about to say nothing. I'm not going to draw attention to myself. Peter, at that point, hadn't got to that place yet. And he said, with everybody pressing against you and bumping into you and everything, and you ask, "Who touched me?" And Jesus said in verse 46, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden. I mean, she's standing right there in the crowd. Jesus is looking at all of them, and he's looking at her too. And she figured she's not going to be hidden from it. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. It was her testimony of what had happened, why I touched you, and what I believe was going to happen when I did. And that all happened before she ever got to the crowd. She explained what she was thinking when she reached through the crowd and touched him. And like I said, who gave her that notion? Who made her think that way? It wasn't Satan. Satan don't work that way. It had to be divine. It had to be from heaven. It had to be the Holy Spirit. Remember what we said a couple of weeks ago about people being saved in the Old Testament simply because they believed God? And we talked then about how important it was for all of us to believe God and not doubt Him. He has always treated people special who believed every single thing He said. And that's us too. There's a lot of things that don't get done because we didn't believe completely exactly what God said or what Jesus said, because He said, "I'm speaking for God." Verse 48. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." What did he say had made her whole? That she could go without fear and without upset. What she believed? Thy faith. What you believe. That made the difference. Don't you see, with all those people bumping into Jesus, the one that he understood had something to do with it that was different was the one that the lady had preconceived notions that if she just touched Jesus, she'd be healed. And that's what stuck with Jesus. She believed him, and he healed her. Did he choose to heal her? She was healed before he chose. She was healed because she touched his garment. And it was her faith, what she came, what she brought to the event, the faith, is what made her heal before he ever said a word to her. I believe before he even knew who she was. You say, well, what you're saying is a little bit different than what I grew up with. It's different than what I grew up with. Because I've had to learn that God restricted Jesus in what he knew in a lot of areas when he came to this earth. And it said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16, Jesus didn't take on the nature of angels when he came to earth to be a human. He didn't take on the characteristics of angels. You know why? Angels don't die. And it was imperative that Jesus die. If not, our sins wouldn't have been paid for. He had to die. Angels don't die. Gods don't die. Spirits don't die. Humans die. And he had to become a human. It says in verse 17, in all things he was made like his brethren. That's you and me. In all things he was like us. I've heard people talk about Jesus as a little boy doing miracles in a sandbox. He didn't do that. His first miracle was at Cana at the wedding. And that was after that Holy Spirit lit on his shoulder in the Jordan River when John the Baptist baptized him. The Holy Spirit came on him then. John was born with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was. He had the Holy Spirit in him ever since he was born. They didn't say that about Jesus. Jesus didn't have it, and it was the Holy Spirit, he told us over and over and over. It was the Holy Spirit that was doing the miracles, not him. And Jesus at that point, you remember we were talking about Easter, we were talking about that in, after he was resurrected, he told the lady in the garden, don't touch me, I haven't ascended yet. I haven't carried my blood to God. Remember what we said? That some fella measured it. And the time that it takes to go from earth to heaven is a twinkling of an eye, a tenth of a second. Jesus went to heaven, came back, and met the ladies after they left the tomb. And it said they caught him around the ankles and worshiped him. By then, he had already received his glorified body. What is that? A body that can live in heaven and live on earth too. He didn't have to have a space suit. Didn't have to have an air pack. A glorified body lives in both places. He could go through walls. He wasn't bound by time and space like people on the earth are. There's a lot of things that Jesus knew, but I think we assume that there's a lot of things that he knew that he really didn't know. We give him powers that God didn't give him. And looking back at all that I was taught, I believe it's a lot easier to say, yeah, he could do that, than it is to try to explain why he couldn't. And I've figured out that a lot of my teachers, like the old, what was it, the five black guys from Jefferson County, sang "Dig a Little Deeper in the Storehouse of His Love." You remember that song? My folks wasn't digging quite as deep. They gave an idea a little bit superficially, and we assumed that there was a lot of things there that I don't believe were there now. I don't believe they are. Because when I dig, I find out that there are restrictions on what Jesus could know and what he couldn't know. And when he told God, "Give me the glory that I had when I was up there with you, because I'm fixed to go to the cross. And when I'm resurrected off the cross, I would like to come up there and have the same glory that I had before." Because when he walked down here as one of us, he was obligated to die. And in order to become something that would die, he had to be like us. And there's a lot of things that we don't know, because we don't have the powers that he had when he was still in heaven. We don't have the powers that he has now that he's in heaven. But those 33 years that he walked down here, I believe he had restrictions. And the Bible, if we dig deep enough, tells us what some of those are. So let me ask you then. You got a problem? You sick? Have you got faith? Can you believe that Jesus would heal you? Now listen, Jesus is not in Briarfield today. The Holy Spirit is, but Jesus is not. But you can go to where Jesus is in the twinkling of an eye. All it is forgiving, Lord, and you're right there at him. Right there at him. And you can ask him with faith to give you your prayer, to heal you, and except in the case like Paul, when he didn't heal Paul, because he told Paul why he didn't. Because of all the stuff that he was fixing to teach Paul, Paul would have been arrogant. And what is the number one thing on God's hate list? Six things God hates. Yea, there are seven that are abomination to him. The first thing on his look is a proud look. And God didn't want Paul to have a proud look. And he knew that if he taught Paul everything he planned to teach Paul, Paul was going to have a proud look. So God says, "No, I'm going to have to leave you with a problem. That'll keep you from having that proud look." That's the same thing with us, folks. I've had a few things wrong with me. And I prayed with faith that Jesus could heal me. And I knew he could. And he chose not to. We don't always know why. God's not very good at answering why. But we can take a lesson from Paul. God knew exactly what it was going to take. Jesus knew exactly what it was going to take to bring Paul around. And when he knocked him down on the road, what's the first thing Paul said? "Who am I talking to?" He said, "This is Jesus." The question that we need is what Paul had. "What must I do, Master?" That's the question we need to ask. Not why, but what. That's what we're all about. We were created unto good works. "Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father
who is in heaven. That's what we're all about, folks. We got all kind of things. I got stuff I got to do this afternoon, got stuff I got to do tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you something, I'm on this earth to glorify God. That was my main purpose. And I don't want to be caught not giving Him all the glory He's got coming. Because that's the reason He created me. And that's the reason He created you and all of us. So make sure you're in the business of glorifying Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your stories. Thank you for your examples. Thank you for instruction on how we are to live and to think and to believe. Teach us, Lord, to get out of our comfort zones. Don't try to play it safe all the time. That's our nature. But we must understand that when we got saved, you gave us a divine nature. It's the nature that Jesus Christ had, not the one we were born with. And that nature lives on faith. And we thank you for that. Maybe it's like riding a bicycle. Maybe we have to do little things before we can do the big thing. But Lord, I thank you that you had your plan like you had it. That we could become the children that could be a participant in everything you want for each one of us to have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.